From Stamford to Stratford, from Westport to Wilton, Fairfield County listens to the Lisa Wexler Show on WICC 600.
And welcome back to the show. So I've been really interested, you know me, I'm always interested in innovations and new things. And I've been following the art world recently with this idea of this NFT. N is in Nancy, F is in Fred, T is in Tom. This NFT, standing for non-fungible tokens, in this world that we're living in where almost every single day there's a new story about cryptocurrency. What does it mean? Is it a good thing? Is it a bad thing? And how does it translate into the real world? Joining us now is Deacon Hayes, who's a finance expert. He's the author of Well Kept Wallet. And he's been doing a lot of research and is a self-proclaimed expert on this brand new world of whatever this is, NFTs. Deacon Hayes, welcome to the Lisa Wexler Show today. Good morning.
Good morning, Lisa.
So, Deacon, first of all, tell us for the audience, you know, what's an NFT anyway, and why should we care? But what is it?
Yeah, so basically an NFT is a non-fungible token, which is a fancy way of saying a digital asset that nobody can replicate that you own and you have the rights to through a smart contract.
So we call it a non-fungible token. Is it? How does it work in the world of art? Why have these NFTs been auctioned off and sold for millions of, and I'm putting now quote dollars because some of the dollars are cryptocurrency, right? So,
right.
Yeah, so tell us about that.
Yeah, so the greatest example that I've heard, and I love this, is a Mona Lisa, right? There's only one Mona Lisa, but there are, let's say, thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of copies of a Mona Lisa, right? And people don't value those the same. You could buy a poster of a Mona Lisa for, I don't know, $1, $10, whatever it might be. But obviously, we would say the real Mona Lisa is invaluable, to be worth millions, hundreds of millions of dollars, right? So the idea with an NFT is that an artist could now take their artwork that is, you know, tangible, that we can see, they could create a digital version of that, and they could have a limited print and say, there's only 50 of these, or there's only one of these, right? And so if you're a fan of that artist, this is a new way for you to buy their art and kind of own a digital asset class for that artist that you love, which just gives the artist a new way to make some revenue. It gives the collector a new way to collect. And so it's just kind of the new wave when it comes to collecting art.
Okay, but let's go back a minute. So are the NFT arts intended to be art that is then hung on a wall someplace and printed, or are they like moving images on a computer? How do you enjoy the art if it's an NFT?
Yeah, I think that's still to be determined, but the reality is you do own that digital asset. So let's say that it is a GIF, which is a file that, you know, an animated file that moves that we've all seen online, right? Or if it is just an image, you could easily display that on, say, like a 65-inch, you know, flat screen TV in your office or at your home or whatever you would like to do. I think that most people are collecting it because of the fact that it is unique, that it's limited in quantity. It's like collecting anything else. It is very strange, though, because it's digital, right? I mean, you're used to having something where you're like, hey, come look at this art that I bought at this auction or this art show,
right?
And they can come appreciate it in your living room. Now you basically just pull up your TV and say, hey, look at this NFT that I bought on Rarible or some website, and then display it on a flat screen. It's a very different feel for sure.
So, Deacon Hayes, has anybody bought NFTs with U.S. currency?
Yes. So there is a site, it's very interesting, called NBA Top Shots. And so they're one of the, I would say, the company behind it was one of the first NFT companies called Meet Dapper. And they basically have found a way to where you could actually use a credit card to buy the. These are basically like digital sports cards. So they call them moments, right? Where it's your favorite player dunking or your favorite player shooting a three-two. Yeah. And so, so you could actually buy it. And I haven't looked at the technology behind it, but my understanding is Ethereum is the blockchain cryptocurrency that is behind NFTs. So what I would assume they do in the back end is when you go to purchase with, say, your credit card with USD, that you're basically buying Ethereum to buy that specific NFT. And so they're getting really sophisticated with this because in some sites, you have to have whatever their currency is, or you have to have Ethereum. And then it gets a little bit more difficult. You're like, well, where do I go buy the Ethereum? I need to have an Ethereum wallet. I need to transfer it. Because it's much more complicated. So they figured out how to make it a little bit more simplified and the everyday person be able to buy one.
So they've basically given you an exchange rate of U.S. dollars on your credit card for whatever currency they're then turning into buying this NFT.
Correct. That's my understanding. And I think it's ever evolving. And that's what's so interesting about the NFT market, right? It's so new. It's exciting. But there is definitely a lot to be cautious about.
So what's the name of that website?
Oh, NBA Top Shot.
Top Shot.
Like National Basketball Association, NBA Top Shot. Yeah, it's very fascinating because, you know, if you have your favorite player and you say, whether it's Kevin Durant or LeBron James, or it's pretty much, as far as I know, current players, I'm not sure if the, you know, players that are retired are on there, but it's a great way for collectors to have something that they can see. They've actually kind of gamified it, too. They want you to get a certain, they have different levels of rarity, right? So if it's like a game-winning shot, that probably is more valuable than someone just passing them all, right? And so they've kind of, they say, hey, collect this many of these, you know, legendary or whatever the different variation is to complete your set, right? So it is interesting how they're figuring it out to not just get one item, but try to get multiple items or multiple NFTs.
You know, it's astonishing to me the never-ending way in which people can slice and dice sports to make a buck. It's unbelievable.
It is.
It's incredible. So now they're making a buck from literally every moment of every game.
Yeah, and I think people are really, they have their team and they have their player, right? And this is kind of a way to connect with the player, you know, in a way that you never could before, right? Where you hold a sports card, but it's very, you know, it's just this one card in your hand, where now you could have a collection of your 30 favorite moments of your player online, access at any time from your phone, from your computer. It is fascinating. I mean, they've definitely figured out some ways
but,
to
yeah.
go for it.
But, you know, Deacon Hayes, you could already do that on YouTube. Like, you could already do that on YouTube. You could already say, this is my favorite thing, and get Adobe Audition and edit it down and create your own highlight movie video and not pay for it. But this is a way to make money. I mean, it's just extraordinary, right? It's different.
It is different. And I think the difference is because you're absolutely right. You can totally do that. And I'm sure there are diehard fans that do that, right? They go through and they find the clips and they do it. But this is actually, it's a marketplace. So, for instance, you could buy a pack for, they have, the common pack is $9, right? So your entry point is really low. But you get three cards in that pack. You own those. Because it's an NFT, you own the rights to that moment. And you can resell that moment at any time. So let's just say you buy a pack.
Okay.
Yeah, you buy a pack for $9, and I got a Luka in one of the packs that I opened. So I was like, I want to just try this out, right? That Luka, Donic, it was worth $25, right? So that one moment paid for the pack and then some, and then I'd still have two moments left, right? So it is cool where it's less than just like, hey, creating a video on YouTube. But now it's a marketplace with the NFT and the smart contract where you own that digital asset. You can then resell it. It has kind of a serial number to it. Gives it a whole different dynamic.
It's like you're buying the first edition of a baseball card.
Right. Yes, very similar to that, but digitally.
But digitally. Very interesting. We're chatting with Deacon Hayes. This is really fascinating. 203-333-9422 if you want to ask a question. So now you have to tell me why I've already been reading that NFTs are disfavored by environmentalists because they eat up way, way, way too much energy. And in fact, what's his name? Elon Musk said he really didn't even want to do business with Bitcoin for Tesla because it was anti-green. This is a very big thing, and it's already penetrating artists who don't want to have anything to do with NFTs. Talk to me about this.
Yeah, so the way that blockchain technology works is that whatever the cryptocurrency behind it needs to be mined. So meaning that you have a computer that is mining the cryptocurrency that takes power and energy. And to mine more, you need more either graphics cards or computers to be able to mine more cryptocurrency, which then requires even more power, right? And so, like you said, you have all these the people that are saying that it's taking up too much energy, it's not good for the environment. So, I mean, that is a reality. But I will say that these technology companies are making these graphics cards faster, be able to mine at a better hash rate faster. So they're figuring out ways to make it more energy efficient. You know, you obviously could have solar involved to where, you know, if you had, say, a cryptocurrency mining farm where you had crypto, where you had solar panels, well, then you're using the energy from the sun. You're not using the energy from the grid, per se. So there are ways around that. But that's definitely a reality at this point, where it does take a lot of power to mine, and trying to figure out how to do it efficiently is still, I think, to be determined.
Let me ask you something. We're chatting with Deacon Hayes about NFTs. Why couldn't an NFT be bought by a regular dollar? Why do you need a cryptocurrency to buy it anyway?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I think that what they're trying to do with these smart contracts, which means that it's this, it's kind of this community third-party validation of the transaction. So it's basically this transparent ledger that says, hey, you know, Deacon Hayes bought this NFT at this time with this dollar, you know, amount of cryptocurrency. And it just makes it kind of, you don't need banks, you don't need, it really kind of decentralizes things. And I think that's what people are trying to go for. You probably could, you could do all of this without blockchain, but then you have the banks involved, and you have the fees, and you have all the things that come with it. And I think this is a real functional way for people to start to see how you could see blockchain technology and cryptocurrencies be a real thing, where you're going to buy stuff online. I mean, there's Visa is coming out with cryptocurrency credit cards, and you've had Bank of America that's actually putting cryptocurrency disclaimer language within their statement, saying that it's the same as cash value. So you have kind of these real world reasons that people are going to want to use cryptocurrencies. And so I think NFTs is kind of the vehicle to get the cryptocurrency out there to say, hey, here's a place where you can spend your Ethereum, spend whatever that cryptocurrency that you want to use, so that there's a you know, actual marketplace for it.
But again, in the end, it still has to have an exchange value. In other words, right now, I have a Visa credit limit of, let's say, $5,000. Okay, I can't spend over $5,000. Someone's going to have to make the determination that those dollars translate into X amount of cryptocurrency, right? In other words, is it dollar for dollar? Like, how does that go?
Absolutely. I would imagine just like a foreign exchange rate, right?
Right.
If I go out of country and I'm like, I've got USD and I want to convert it, it's whatever the value of whatever that currency, if it's the euro, whatever the value of that euro is at that time that I'm exchanging for. So same thing with cryptocurrency. It does fluctuate in value, and it's 24/7 marketplace. So it's constantly changing, right? So it's whatever it is at that point when you make that purchase, that would be kind of that exchange rate.
Okay, and so for the NFTs, they've decided to accept this Ethereum. They're not doing Bitcoin?
Correct, because it's the blockchain underneath it. Now, what you can do is you can exchange. There are exchanges. So just like we're talking about with foreign currency, you could easily exchange your Bitcoin for Ethereum. And a lot of these sites make it easy to do that, whatever cryptocurrency you have, to exchange it for whatever they use. Some of the big ones are OpenSea or Rarible. Or that NBA Top Shots one. So you can basically, you know, if you have Bitcoin, you still could purchase it. You do just have to exchange beforehand.
It's really a very changing world of commerce. We're just at the beginning of it, at least for widespread knowledge. There are people who've already made a fortune in it. We're not at the very beginning. But in the sense of where we might be 10 years from now, I think we'll look at this as still at the beginning.
Yeah, I agree. And I think, because it's at the beginning, there is a lot of speculation. There is a lot of caution to be had, right? To say, hey, mm-hmm. this is exciting, but we don't know where it's going or where it's headed. But I've heard some interesting things like concert. So this is a good example. So let's just say you have an artist, let's say Ed Sheeran, right? And he has a concert. He could create an NFT concert ticket. So instead of actually having a physical ticket or a PDF, you could have NFTs where it's these smart contracts that are unique and have serial numbers that you can now, in your own marketplace, without having to use StubHub or eBay or anything like that, you could just say, hey, I'm gonna sell mine to Lisa, and I'm gonna sell it for X, and through this platform. But here's the cool part about it. Now you own that, right? You could then say after the concert, if it is something cool that has a picture of him with his guitar or maybe a moment from the event that you have the rights to, you can then resell that as like a souvenir for $50 or whatever. So there are ways where these musicians and artists are trying to figure out how can we use NFTs to kind of continue to make revenue, cut out some middlemen, make it more efficient, make it easier for the attendee, those type of things. So if those things come into fruition, that definitely changes commerce, not only online, but how we do things in real life.
But I will say that cutting out the middleman is always the ideal, but it never lasts, Deacon. Nevertheless, there's always going to be a middleman to come in to make the to make something more efficient in the marketplace, and they're going to take a fee.
Absolutely. And there's what's called gas fees, which is kind of what you're, I would say, alluding to in the cryptocurrency world. So if you want to exchange your cryptocurrency, there is typically a fee to do
that.
If you want to transfer.
So there it is. So tell me how that's different from a currency exchange. It's the same difference. Honestly, it's like I feel like with all this cryptocurrency, I feel like the old expression about if it walks like a duck or a pig, you know what I'm like, they're dressing up a pig and they're putting lipstick on it, but it's still a pig. That's what it feels right. like to me.
Yeah, it does. And I think that's why, like I said, it's still speculative. You're like, hey, is this really going to take off? What are the use cases for it? We kind of talked about a couple of them. But, yeah, is it going to be that much better than what we already have? Who knows?
I think it'll be real. I think it'll be here. I think it'll be real. It'll be another alternative, quote unquote, currency. But I don't think it's going to be better than the American dollar. I think it'll be in its own way a competitor, but it'll have the same price of entry and barriers to entry as if I wanted to trade in gold or if I wanted to only buy things in the Swiss franc. It'll just be another competing something like that. That's what I think. Could be wrong, but that's what I think.
Yeah, I think, I mean, as far as the cryptocurrencies go, yeah, I think there will be a few that are basically the winners, right? You'll have the Bitcoins, Ethereum, and probably one or two others. And it will just be like, hey, you know, for whatever reason, I've accumulated so much Bitcoin or Ethereum, and I want to now buy something, and I want to transact that. And so what are my options? My options are I can buy concert tickets. I can, you know, maybe go to a sports game or whatever it might be. And you're going to use whatever you have that, you know, that's going to give you the best value for that, you know, event. But yeah, does it make things better? Maybe it makes it more complicated because now you're like, well, now I have USD and I have Bitcoin. I have all these different things that I have to spend that makes it more difficult, you know?
Very interesting. Deacon Hayes, thank you so much for coming on to tell us what you know. I've learned something today and I always love to learn something. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks for having me. This is fun.
Really fun for me, too. Deacon Hayes on the Lisa Wexler Show. We've been talking about NFTs and crypto. We'll be right back.